I was just overwhelmed with the things that God has been revealing to me, and I'm kind of trying to wrap my head around it and trying to grasp what God is trying to say to me and to the body. Because when I was a young Christian, I went up to be prayed, and somebody gave a word of prophecy over me, and he said, "You are a wheel within a wheel." And I was a young Christian, so I said, "Beats me, what does that mean?" And so over time, as I studied the Word, I got to learn more about Ezekiel's wheel. Everybody's probably heard about Ezekiel chapter 1, if you want to turn your Bibles there. And I'm kind of I'm not a very visual person, so when I read Ezekiel, I'm trying to visualize. Why didn't you have a cell phone and take a few pictures of what you saw? That would have helped me. I do the same when I look at the Old Testament about building the tabernacle and all the instruments and all that. I'm saying, what did it look like? Give me a video. So we're so visual. And so I'm reading all these words and I'm saying, okay, I'm reading from Ezekiel chapter 1. And let's read that, and then I'll start talking about what Ezekiel went through. Ezekiel chapter 1, let's start in verse 1. "In the 13th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the exiles by the Chebar Canal, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiakim, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the Chebar Canal, and the hand of the Lord was upon him." Now, we have to understand that when Ezekiel was already in Babylon, he was already a captive. He was part of the exiles. King Jehoiakim had basically surrendered to the Babylonians as God had ordered. If you study the book of Jeremiah, he's telling them, just surrender and you'll be treated nicely. And don't worry about it. In 70 years from now, I'm going to bring you back. So he's a priest, or the son of a priest, and he's in the exile. And he's wondering what is going on. And of course, the people that were carried away in the captivity were always wondering, what's going on? Why did God abandon us? So that's why we come into what God is trying to do to Ezekiel here. He's trying to show him something about himself. So let's read on in verse 4. "As I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, and a great cloud with brightness around it, and the fire flashing forth continually in the midst of the fire, as it were gleaming metal. And from the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had a human likeness, but each had four faces, and each of them had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calf's foot, and they sparkled like burnished bronze. Under their wings and in their four sides they had human hands, and the four had their faces and their wings thus. Their wings touched one another. Each one of them went straight forward without turning as they went. As for the likeness of their faces, each had a human face. The four had the face of a lion on the right side. The four had the face of an ox on the left. And the four had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces, and their wings were spread out above. Each creature had two wings, each of which touched the wing of another, while two covered their bodies. And each went straight forward wherever the spirit would go. They went turning without turning as they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches moving to and fro among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures darted to and fro like the appearance of a flash of lightning." Verse 15, "Now as I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the earth beside the living creatures, one for each of the four of them. As for the appearance of their wheels and the construction, their appearance was like gleaming of beryl, and the four had the same likeness. Their appearance verse 16. As for the appearance of the wheels and their construction, their appearance was like the gleaning of beryl, and the four had the same likeness, the appearance and construction being as it were a wheel within a wheel. Now, try to figure out what this guy is seeing. It kind of puzzles me. So ultimately, what God is showing him, the purpose of the vision, is God was trying to show, is to see from God's perspective. The title of my message is Seeing Things from God's Vantage Point. Because a lot of times we have adapted to seeing things from the things that we learn, the things that we experience. And so God wanted to remind Ezekiel, even though you are in captivity, even though you're surrounded by all these things that are disappointments and things that are happening in your life, I am still on the throne. And so he has a vision. If you read the rest of the chapter, he has a vision of God's throne, in essence. And he's trying to figure out, what are you showing me? What is this wheel within a wheel? And this morning I want to get into this wheel within a wheel, because it has a purpose for what God is doing in our lives. And also because in the population that he was living, the Babylonians had all these deities, and these deities had thrones and chariots, and they had all these pictures, imagery that they depicted. So God was trying to say, I'll give you a picture of where I sit and how I see things. Don't get overwhelmed by what is happening today. It's very, for today, this reading this chapter brings us, even though we think it's out of context, we are experiencing the same things that are happening around us. We wonder, God, what's going on? Why are the things not happening in your church? Why is this not happening? Why is that not happening? We have done this, we've done that, nothing. So God is coming to encourage his people and to remind us to look up. Look up. Don't look around you. Yes, there are things around you, but don't get overwhelmed with it. So Ezekiel is trying to share with us this vision, because at the end of the chapter, he basically fell on his face. He just said, "No, now I understand what you're trying to do." So let's look at this this wheel within a wheel. Did you want to put that picture for me? So as you can see, when we think of a wheel within a wheel, you think about the wheelbarrow or the wheel of a chariot, and inside there's another wheel. That's not what Ezekiel was seeing. He was seeing two identical wheels that can fit into each other. Now, physically, you can't do it. But in the realm of the spirit, what you see is all these wheels inside the wheel. Right? So, God is in the center of the wheel. God is, because the wheel, it has a hub. And this hub faces everywhere. That's why he's talking about all these angels that are going a certain way, but they're looking everywhere. They had eyes everywhere. So what God is trying to tell him through this vision, he's saying, I can see everything. I know everything, past, present, and future. So he gives him a picture to kind of get an idea, not necessarily that God is in the hub of a wheel, but just to say to him, I will give you some explanation of what does it look like. So the wheels, he said, the wheels are touching the bottom of the earth. And then he says, the wheels were very high. So what you're looking, one of the wheels is the wheel of time. And one of the wheels is the wheel of eternity. And time is intersecting eternity. But it's subservient to eternity. So what we look at this morning for example, just to get our arms around us, So in the natural realm, there's no way that you can put two wheels of the same size together. But from the Hebrew, we saw that this is what we think that Ezekiel saw. Now, so this Ezekiel is describing this. If you think, for example, as a basketball, it's round. But if you roll the basketball, it only goes one way. The movement of that basketball can only go the motion that you set it. This wheel was turning always in all directions at the same time. To show that God is saying, there's nothing that is escaping my attention. And just for us to visualize, think of a bicycle wheel. Even though it's not the same three-dimension as this one, or a multi-dimension. In a bicycle wheel, you have the hub and you have the spokes. Right? So, in the spokes, let's talk about two realms. The natural realm and the spiritual realm. There are two realms. In the natural realm, we have dimension. We have time, we have matter, we have space. The spiritual realm has dimensions, but not the same. And so what is happening is the dimension of time is intersecting eternity. So we live in that one of those wheels that is time. But God lives in the hub of the wheel that is eternity. And they intersect. So natural matter exists in the physical realm, but physical matter doesn't exist in the spiritual realm. So the spiritual realm has spiritual matter. So for example, when Jesus came to the earth and he became the God-man, became wrapped in human flesh, there was a combining and fusing of the spirit realm and the physical realm. It never happened before. So Jesus entered into time and combined the two. And when he was resurrected, his body crossed over into the spiritual realm. And his blood was brought into the hub of the wheel. And that blood was applied to every spoke of your life. Think of the spokes as every spoke, like one spoke is when you were born, one spoke when you came to Jesus Christ, and there are future spokes. So the spokes of that wheel in the future, God can see those things. And the blood of Jesus, when you became a Christian, went through every spoke of your life since you were born and applied the blood to every one of those spokes. And not only that, in the future as well, the blood of Jesus was applied in the future spokes. But you have to see it from the realm of the spirit, from the hub. The spirit of God is within the wheel. The spirit of God has eyes. The eyes of the spirit of God are the word of God and the spirit of God, the word and the spirit. You cannot separate the two. And that's why so many churches, so many Christians get half of it. Word and spirit. To be able to see, if you cover one of your eyes, you can only see some way. If you cover the other eye, you see something else. To see dimension, to see the depth, you need both. You need the word and the spirit. People study the word. People can preach about the word. But if they don't allow the other eye, the spirit realm, the Holy Spirit, to bring revelation, what you read is just history. It's just ineffective. It's just nothing. So God, what he wants to do, when he wants to show us how to see from his perspective, we have to get into that hub. I have to allow the spirit to reveal to me when I spend time in the Word, because there's a lot of symbolism in the Bible. And to understand that symbolism, that revelation has to come as you read the Word. When I read this chapter and I read about the wheel within a wheel, if the Holy Spirit does not show me what is it about, and I'm not interested in it, then it was nice. I read my chapter. That was good. And I understand some things. I understand a lot of history. But we need that fusing combination. Because the body that Jesus got when he was resurrected is the same body we will get when he comes back. That glorified body that we talk about is in the heart. And Jesus wants us to get a revelation of that and to come with him from his perspective. He's basically giving us binoculars. He said, come into the hub and I'll show you your future. I'll show you what you're going to do. I know you're singing and you're saying this and that, but I can see in the future spoke that you already walked away from what I gave you. God sees that. And there's always a way to correct it, and that is repentance. Those spokes in our lives, and that's how you use, for example, prophetic word, understanding prophecy. Prophecy is really going into the hub, and you have people who have this gifting, or we can have that same, it's just we don't spend the time, we spend maybe time in the Word, but we're not allow the Spirit to speak, or the other way around. We get too much in the Spirit and we don't want to spend time in the Word. So the prophets, they could go into those spokes and see your past. And they could go into the spokes and see the future. That's how they speak to us. Think of it. God is in the hub. He says, if you come from my vantage point, allow the Holy Spirit to give you revelation. I can change things in the spokes that are ahead of you. If you will ask me, you have sickness, I can apply the blood of Jesus in the future spokes and see yourself. The question is to see yourself healed, to see yourself in the future of what you want God to do in your life or what God has already planned for you. So how do we get into that hub is through repentance, is through allowing the Word and the Spirit. You cannot separate the two. There are churches that are Word oriented, there are churches that are Spirit oriented, and none of them come together. They reject each other. You go to a Baptist church, they reject what the Spirit wants to do. You go to a spiritual church, they don't spend time in the Word. So, and that's why we never really get into that perspective to catch those spokes in our lives. When I understood that, I said, yes, when I came to Christ, the blood of Jesus, God went through every spoke in my past and applied the blood. And it's no longer there. It's once and for all. Amen. In Hebrews it says, the blood of Jesus was applied. His sacrifice is once and for all. And when his blood was poured out, it entered eternity. That blood is available in eternity. You cannot get more saved than what you are saved. The blood of Jesus covers all the spokes and is available for the future ones as well, if you sin in the future. But we have to be able to grasp. We have to be able to understand how do I get into this hub? Why am I not? I mean, some people with prophetic anointing or word of knowledge, you think we hear about preachers and say, well, I saw you, whatever, give you some kind of prophetic word, and it's true because they were allowed to go into the spokes of the future and tell you what you're going to do. Because God revealed it to them through the hub of the wheel. And God wants to do that with each one of us. The problem is we don't spend the time or we have this resistance because we want to solve the future spokes by what we know, by what we study. The God is in that hub, there is no time. Time is another wheel. God doesn't care about time. The only reason he cares about time is he cares for our time. But he doesn't really depend on the time element. When Jesus stepped into the world, he stepped into time. His sacrifice happened in time, right? But when he was resurrected, he stepped into eternity. And his blood is in that hub. And his blood is available and will never, never, never fail you. It will always be applied to the spokes in your life. Think of that bicycle wheel, just to wrap your mind around it. And God is in there and says, I can see that. I can see what's going to happen to you 5 years from now, 10 years from now. And you can go and even ask him and say, God, can you show me what will happen a year from now? And God says, yeah, I see you, you're healed. I see you this, I see you graduating, or I see you getting married, or whatever. So what Ezekiel was seeing, he understood that hub, if you want to call it, is what the Spirit of God dwells. And he dwells in us. He says, it says, Jesus says, the Spirit will tell you of things to come. God wants to tell us things to come. When you read the Word, the Word is about your future. Right? This is how you get saved. You said, oh, if I believe, I'm going to go to heaven. That's about my future. If I believe this promise, oh, I'm going to get healed. So God is saying, well, walk right in. Just get in. I'll give you the binoculars. Come and see it from where I sit. Where I sit, I see you healed. Where I sit, I see you. All the spokes are, the blood is applied. The problem is, the world is telling you, no, no, no. Just be like one of us. Just allow. So every one of us can come into this hub, if you want to call it. Allow the Holy Spirit and the Word. It's so vital. And to get that revelation, not just to study the Word just for the sake of getting over homework. I want, when I realize this, I go to God every day. I say, God, let me come from your vantage point. Show me what I'm going to do next year. Show me what I'm going to do next week, for that matter. And he says to me, well, see yourself healed. See yourself. Don't walk around, and because the Word of God tells you that. The people that got healed, when you read it in the New Testament, it's like when people say, well, you have word of knowledge. Yes, you went to my future spoke and you saw me healed and you saw me this or whatever I was being prayed for. God allowed this. And God wants us as believers to realize today that it's so vital for us to understand what Ezekiel saw. It may not be the exact picture of what he saw, but just, he gives us this to wrap our minds around it. And I even brought the bicycle example because it kind of gives you a sample. But I know now that God, every spoke in the wheel is part of an event in my life. And all the ones in my past, the blood has been applied when I accepted Christ, his blood from the eternal, from the hub, went through every spoke. And as far as God is concerned, it doesn't exist. No? The scripture says it doesn't remember your sins. They're wiped. And also the future. It's available for you now and in the future if you sin. If you sin, all you have to do is repent. Blood is applied. Clean, spoke, next. But to be able to get this understanding, and you have to get in the Word and to understand the symbolism of what God, there are so many symbols in the Bible. I was talking with somebody about the wedding at Cana with the six jars. Why six? So this symbolism, and I explain, the symbolism, six is the number of man. Six is the number, is incomplete. Seven is the number of completeness. So to understand all this, the Holy Spirit has to reveal it to you if you're interested. If you're not digging about it and say, well, yeah, so what, there were six jars. Or he's telling the woman, you had five husbands. Okay, so if I read it, yeah, it's done. No, if you really study and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, five husbands of Samaritan people came from five kingdoms that were displaced when the Assyrians conquered Israel. They brought in five kingdoms to become Israel, and they created a false priesthood. The Samaritans were not Jews. So he's telling her, you are not a Jew. That, you have five husbands means you're a Samaritan, you're from these five kingdoms. You're not. So when you read the book of John, oh, she had five husbands. No, no, no. Jesus is speaking from the Word. Jesus is giving her symbolism about what does he mean. So there are so many things, like when Jesus tells his mother, my time has not yet come. You'll hear all kinds of interpretation of that. But this, the symbolism is, it's not time to be crucified. It's my blood, it's not time for me to celebrate this wedding, which I will celebrate with my bride. That's not the time. I'm the bridegroom, and I'm at the wedding of somebody else. So it's so important for us. God wants us to see from his vantage point, to see yourself healed, to go into the spokes in the future. I was listening to some testimony of a preacher that went, God, as he was preaching, God captured him and put him in the hub. And he says, I went in the hub and I saw God creating Adam. He said, well, what do you mean? Well, he said, there is no instant replay. In eternity, everything is happening and re-happening, if you want to call it that. He says, I saw Jesus being crucified in the hub. Which, you know, for us it happened because it was in time. But in eternity, all these things are happening simultaneously. There is no, give me a replay. There's no replay. It's happening. Because God is eternal. A lot of people will tell you about, oh, well, I'll get a replay. No, there is no replay. You go to that hub, God will show you everything that he wants to show you. So it's important for us to understand that the eyes of the Spirit are the Word and the Spirit of the revelation. And if we don't get it, then we will always be with one eye, we'll be seeing from a certain perspective. And the Holy Spirit says, if you get into my Word, I'll give you revelation. If you're really serious about finding out, not just what other people are saying, I will give you your personal experience. This is what happened to Ezekiel. He was just a priest. He's probably disgruntled and saying, oh, I got to do all this church service every Sunday for these people. And what's the purpose? I'm in captivity. I mean, it's boring. But then God kind of woke him up and saying, bring your cell phone, take some selfies. So it's important for us to come alive and to rekindle this love for what God wants to do in our lives. To remember that those spokes of the future are available to us from God's vantage point to see ourselves. I see myself here or there or whatever. And God will take you there. God will change things in eternity. In that spoke, he can go and change things. The problem is nobody wants to go there. And when you want to wrap your mind around it, think about it as a prophetic. A prophet sees in the past and can see in the future. That's why you see all these, sometimes people have giftings. They tell you, oh, I see you, blah, blah, blah. They give you a prophecy. Like this guy who prophesied and said to me about your wheel within a wheel. Now I understand what it means. It means God wants me to live in that hub to see from his vantage point. And God wants to teach me about what I'm reading. What is the symbolism? What does it mean? Why six jars? Why five husbands? Why whatever? If I let myself, if I sit down And think about it. And Pastor John, when he tries to explain to us things, it's the same thing. It's a word in the Spirit, and the Spirit wants to give us revelation. And sometimes we say, oh, we heard it before. No. Because the revelation that God, at that particular moment, the revelation, this, what God wants to show us, to be from a different angle. Think of that wheel. It's facing every direction. God sees everything simultaneously. We don't. We are very sequential. So it's important for us this morning to be encouraged, allow to come and see ourselves from God's vantage point. The way God sees me tomorrow or an hour from now. And to know that the blood of Jesus has covered me forever. There's nothing I can do as long as I repent in my future spokes for the things that I do wrong. And that spoke is clean. And he can see every one of those. And from the moment you were born, God looks and says, oh, it's all, the blood has been applied. I don't see anything wrong here. And move forward. So I want you to be encouraged this morning to see from God's vantage point. It's so critical. And don't forget the two eyes, the eyes of the Spirit. The eyes of the Spirit and the Word of the Spirit. They go together. You cannot say, I want a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Because God's people have to be able to see angels. God's people have to be able to see the supernatural realm. But we don't. Because we don't allow it. We don't ask for it. God says, I'll show you, there are angels around here this morning. I want you to open your eyes and see that they are ministering here. I want you to see people healed. I want you to see this. So there's so many things that the Holy Spirit wants to show us. Somehow we look very disinterested. We'd rather study the Word or read 50 chapters or whatever. But God is saying, when you read and when the pastor preaches, it's so critical to pay attention. What is the Spirit saying? Not necessarily what Pastor John is saying, because the Spirit is speaking through the pastor. It's the anointing. But sometimes we kind of shrug it off. But the Holy Spirit is saying, I want you to draw you into that hub and see from God's vantage point. And this is an opportunity, as the pastor is saying something, this is an opportunity for you to come into that hub and see what God is seeing. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for teaching us how much you love us and how much you want so much for us to grasp the word, to take us into that hub where eternity is, Lord. When you see things from your vantage point, Father, you have so many good things in store for us. You saved us, the blood of Jesus. You've given us a glorified body that we will, when we join you, we already have that body, Lord. But when we step into eternity, Lord, we know that it's waiting for us. We'll be like you. There'll be no boundaries. There's no physical laws for that body, Lord. Even when you were resurrected, Lord, you went through walls and all kinds of places and appeared to the disciples suddenly. We'll be able to do that in eternity, Lord. Help us, Holy Spirit, to allow you to open our mind and our spirit to see from your vantage point, Father. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Did I push stop?